Help us to receive your word, to believe your word, and to obey your word. Move by your power. Move by your spirit is our prayer. We're thanking you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a song I want to sing. I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. Through hard trials and tribulations, persecutions, I'll be faithful, for I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. Well, I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. I'm determined to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. Through hard trials, tribulations, persecution, I'll be faithful. Yes, I am. Who's determined to live for Jesus? I'm determined to live for Jesus. Yes, I am. Yes, I'm determined to live for Jesus. Yes, I am. Hard trials, tribulation, persecution, I'll be faithful, for I'm determined to live for Jesus. Yes, I am. I feel that in my soul. I'm determined to live for Jesus. Oh, yes, I am. I'm determined to live for Jesus. Yes, I am. Through hard trials, tribulations, persecution, I'll be faithful, for I'm determined to live for Jesus. Yes, I am. Amen. I'm determined. Oh, yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I am. I don't care what's going on. Well, through hard trials, tribulations, persecutions, I'll be faithful. I'm determined to live for Jesus. Yes, I am. Amen. I'm determined. You have to be determined. In times and days like these, you better be determined. Amen. There's all kind of stuff happening. All kind of stuff is jumping off, and things are in flux, and things are changing and everything. But one thing will not change is the Word of God. And since God is His Word, we have the confidence that God will not change. Amen. So we have to be determined to walk and to live for Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about decisions today. Yeah, I want to talk about decisions, because you have to make a decision. Amen, 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 amen. Walk with me to Isaiah chapter number 53 to begin with. Isaiah chapter number 53. Amen. Amen. Oftentimes we hear either through preaching or through teaching or through just personal witnessing, we hear the Word of God through those various modes, and in our own personal reading, we in our devotion, we hear from God. But we have to make a decision. Are we going to believe what we hear? And the outcome of our day, the outcome of our journey, the outcome of the circumstance or situation that we may be facing or we are approaching or we find ourselves in has a lot to do with whether we believe God or not. It has a lot to do with it. So we have to make decisions to believe God. And the outcome and our outlook is based on the decisions that we really make. And it has to be a heart decision. Because sometimes and oftentimes in certain types of surroundings, we know what the proper response should be. We know what the proper response should be in certain settings and surroundings. We know what the quote unquote right answer is or should be. If we were polled or if we were asked certain things, we would usually come up as a high likelihood we'll come up with the right answer. But what's really going on in our hearts? That's the true answer. God has declared his word. He has given us his word through the hands of faithful men. Scripture lets us know that holy men of old, they spoke and they wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So God's word is in fact God's word. And God has inspired men of old to record the message. And here in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah asks a question. And I have the Amplified Version, verse number one. Who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? Who has believed the message of God? Who has believed it? Who has had an interest in it? Or who has clung to it? When you cling to something, that means you're not going to let it go. No matter what happens, who has trusted? Who has trusted and put their total trust and confidence in what God has declared and what God is declaring? Because we just want to remind you of something that we already know, that this is the living word of God. Amen. God has the ability and the power and the magnificence to record scripture before we even got here and make it alive and very present in our present day situation. Only God can do that. So, I mean, just on the basis of that part of or that aspect of God being God and his godness, we should actually believe everything that comes out of his mouth, because he did declare that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if we live by this, then surely we should believe it. We should trust in it. We should rely upon it. We should cling unto the message of God. So now here in this setting, Isaiah is declaring in prophecy what Jesus is going to come and going to do. And he said in verse number 2, for the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. He has no royal kingly pomp that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So he's talking about Jesus. All right. Then he says in verse number 3, he was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sicknesses. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Now, he was prophesying what was going to happen in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And we know through reading the New Testament account that this is exactly what happened. And it's a sad thing to say that people are still rejecting Jesus Christ even right now today. People will talk almost about anything. They will entertain almost any subject that you want to bring up. But when you start narrowing down the subject and you start talking about Jesus Christ, they got a problem. People have a problem. People are still rejecting Jesus Christ. People are still forsaking Jesus Christ. People are still being despicable, and they are despising Jesus Christ. And the sad part about it, the real sad part about it, is that they are rejecting and they are despising the only one who is the author of their eternal salvation. That's the real tragedy. That's the real tragedy for mankind. But we have to understand that we have an opportunity as the children of God. We have an opportunity as the people of God to continue to carry this message forward. We have an obligation. In fact, Jesus himself told us at the end of his earthly ministry, he said, go and make disciples. Right? We need to understand that. But let's look again. Let's look again at what Isaiah is saying about this servant of the Lord. It is, in fact, Jesus Christ himself. Verse number 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs. He's borne our sicknesses. He's borne our weaknesses and distresses and carried our sorrows. He's carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly, see, that's the problem. The world is ignorant to the salvation that Jesus has to offer. Not that they are, I'm not saying they are intellectually ignorant. There's a lot of intellectuals that need Jesus. There are a lot of well-educated people that need Jesus. In fact, everybody needs Jesus. Amen? But especially those who think that their station in life affords them the opportunity to reject and deny, they don't understand the consequences of their decision. One of my teachers told me a long time ago, before you make a decision, get all the information. Get all the information. And sadly, many people in the world have made a decision to reject Christ and haven't received all the information. And it is our responsibility, since we have the information, it is our responsibility as God opens the door to give them the information. It's our responsibility to let them to know, to make a wise decision. There was a commercial on television. There was a commercial on television that plays sometimes, and it has different vignettes, and I think one vignette is a couple. They're buying a house, and I think the contractor is there, and he's telling them what type of stuff that they're going to need, materials, and they ask questions. You know, and then they go to buy a car. I think they show another couple buying a car, and then the salesperson is there, and they in the conversation about purchasing the car, and they're asking questions about gas mileage and safety ratings and things like that. And then there's a school scenario, and they're asking, well, how good is the school? So it shows the good sense of asking questions, but then it's flips over to the last part, and they're talking about, I guess, their portfolio or something, and the broker says, okay, we're going to move you into this. And they don't ask no questions. But they ask questions concerning the house. They ask questions concerning the car. They ask questions concerning the education. But when it came to their investment, right, the broker said, we're going to move you into this. And they said, okay. I saw that, and it kind of hit my mind. People will ask a whole lot of questions about stuff that's going to be burnt up. Huh? But when it comes to the question of eternity, I don't want to hear that. When it comes to the, well, I'm okay, you're okay. No, not necessarily. There has to be a standard, and the standard is the Word of God. Huh? The standard is the Word of God. I can't go by my own opinion, and you can't go. It's not safe because the Bible records in the book of Judges that at that time, men did what was right in their own eyes, and we saw the history. We can see the history of how they got in trouble, and God had to bail them out. Every time, God had to bail them out, and as long as the judges lived and they followed the judge under the direction of God, they were okay. But as soon as the judge passed on, people reverted back to being people. So one would think that the The most important question facing a human would be your eternal destination. But they don't want to talk about that. I wonder why. I wonder why. But we have a responsibility, I believe, we have a responsibility to let people know what Jesus has wrought and what Jesus has wrought. But the world, again, has always had a problem with Jesus. And I'm so glad that the problem that I used to have with Jesus, I don't have it no more. Aren't you glad the problem? We came here with a problem, huh? We came here with a problem because we were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. We came here the enemies of God. But the Bible says in Romans around the 5th chapter, it said that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. So the problem was solved even before we even realized that there was a problem. So I give God praise and I give God glory. I give God honor because he solved the problem before I really realized that there was a problem. Now, if I didn't know that there was a problem and somebody solved it, surely I would be appreciative of that. Amen? And I want to tell everybody else that suffers with the same problem that we suffer with that there's a problem solver who could solve your ultimate problem, and that's Jesus. But we have to make a decision, and we have to get them to the point of making the decision. Am I going to believe the report? Who's going to believe the report? So Isaiah continues to say, surely he has borne our griefs. He's borne our griefs, he's borne our weaknesses and distresses and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Scripture says in one place the chastisement of our peace was upon him. I believe it's further down in the text. But he said, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. He was wounded, there it is, he was wounded for our transgression. Talking about Jesus. Right? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. He took the whooping and the beating that we deserved because we couldn't handle the massive whooping and beating that God poured out on Jesus. We could not handle the wrath of God, but God poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ. He was wounded, Scripture says, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. He took that upon himself, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Aren't you glad that you're healed and made whole? I'm talking about spiritually now. Yeah, we might have a few things that are in these bodies, but thank God that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood, because of his sacrifice of his life, we are made whole with his stripes. Because the scripture does say without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And if Jesus didn't shed his blood, then our sins would still be on us. But I'm so glad for this suffering servant. I'm so glad that the report, that we believed the report. I'm so glad that the arm of the Lord was revealed unto us. Now we have to understand, not only was it revealed unto us on the cross of Calvary, it was revealed to the whole world, but they rejected it. See, God, he didn't make us robots. He didn't make us without a will, but God in his grace and God in his mercy, he designed us as humans. He designed us with intellect. He designed us with reasoning. He designed us with a will, and he let us choose. He gives us the great opportunity and the blessed privilege to choose. We make decisions about so many things. And see, it's so fascinating in the creation of God of how he can just make our brains. He can make our brains and we can just choose things. And sometimes we choose things so quickly that we don't even realize that we're choosing them. That's why I think it's important for us to realize that the scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And see, we have to understand that our natural flesh is an enemy of God. So then the scripture comes to support us and to give us encouragement that said if we live after the flesh, we're going to die. But if we through the spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, we're going to live. See, so God has downloaded through these 66 books of the Bible all the warnings and all the encouragements that we need in order to make right decisions. But there's something that goes on in our minds or in our hearts or in our thinking sometimes that we don't really maybe put a whole lot of weight on. And we make sometimes quick decisions without acknowledging God? And sometimes these things are habitual. Well, I don't need God for this. I don't need God for that. I can use my own reasoning. I can use my own desire. Watch, be careful with desire. Because somewhere in the book of James says that when we sin, we are drawn away, we are enticed by our own lust. So we got to keep that desire in check. We have to make sure that our desires are lawful. We have to make sure that our desires are in right relationship with God. We have to make sure that our desires are righteous. We have to be real quiet. We have to make sure that our desires are pleasing to God. And sometimes that's where we wrestle. We have a wrestling match. We have a WWE or WWF wrestling match because there's a tag team with our flesh and the devil in that corner. And sometimes our flesh and the devil get together and try to make us do stuff, or we allow. Yeah, watch that. We allow, because if we have the Spirit of God, then we can mortify. But it's a decision. So sometimes those decisions are split-second decisions. And sometimes there are consequences, severe consequences of decisions that we made without getting all the information. Yeah. I made a decision years ago when my brother sent me upstairs on Green Avenue and to get his drink out the refrigerator and bring it to the club. I made a decision walking down the stairs from the fifth floor to turn the bottle up. And that decision cost me dearly. Just that one split decision. All I'm going to do is taste it. That's all I'm going to do is just, I want to see how this tastes. It looked like orange juice, but how many know it wasn't just orange juice? And when I turned up that bottle, the door was opened. And I walked that path for some years, y'all, until Wednesday, June 19, 1985. I walked that path for that one little sip, because I wanted more. I wanted more, and I got more. And the devil will make sure that you get more of the wrong stuff because of that one decision. Oftentimes, especially if you don't have God's Spirit. So I was wide open for that rascal. So I went from drinking to smoking. I went from smoking to pills. I went from pills to liquid codeine. It was all good for me. I had no barriers, or so I thought. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, He made an ultimate decision a long time before I even got on planet Earth that whosoever will, let him come. He made a decision to have the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. He made a decision that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And lost is what I was. Okay, I won't be selfish. Lost is what we were. Now, your lost condition might not have been my lost condition, and you might not have decided to take a drink. You just might have decided to lie. You just might have decided to fornicate. Well, you just might have decided to steal. But whatever you decided to do, that put us on a path. That put us on a path. But thank God. Thank God. He came looking for us. We weren't looking for Him. Ooh, God came looking for us before we even got here. Look at God. Before we even got here, He was looking for us because He had us and He has us in His mind and on His heart all the time. Glory to God. Huh? The Almighty God, the Sovereign God, who can do whatever He wants to do whenever He wants to do it. He told Moses, "Look, I'll make another people." So that means it was well in His ability to make some more people. But God puts up with our foolishness before we got saved, and then after we come in here, how many sometimes still make foolish decisions? But look at the mercy of God. Look at the grace of God. Let's not abuse it. Amen. We should mature in the area of not abusing but appreciating the grace and the mercy of God. Scripture says in verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Look at Isaiah prophesying. He know us, don't he? Because that's God speaking. All we like sheep have gone astray. All of us. I think the Bible talks about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has made to light on him the guilt and the iniquity of us all. He was talking about Jesus. He was oppressed. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive, glory, and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This was the very God manifested in the flesh. Remember, he said, don't you know I can call down legions of angels if I wanted to get out of this situation? It's not that I'm not powerful. It's not that I can't just speak and dispatch a legion of angels to my defense, but I got a purpose here. I got to set an example here, because I'm going to be calling for you to do maybe some of the same things that I'm doing. And I will be able to say unequivocally, I'm talking like this is Jesus here, that I know what you're going through. I know what it is to be talked about, Jesus speaking. I know what it is to be lied on. I know what it is to be hated. I know what it is to be falsely accused. I even know what it is for somebody to jack me up. Further than that, I know what it is for them to kill me. Scripture now lets us know that we have not a faithful high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And since he was victorious, he is able now to secure us. So when you think that you can't handle no more, when you think that, well, I'm going to throw in the towel, wrong decision. Put the towel back up on the rack and close the door and put a padlock on the linen closet, because you can't throw in no towel. That's the wrong decision. What if Jesus would have threw in the towel when he was in Gethsemane and said, no, this is too much, God. Come up with another plan. I ain't going to the cross for them. They're a bunch of liars. They're a bunch of crooks. They're going to be with me 1 minute, and the next minute, if things ain't working out the way they want, they're going to put me to the side. No, Lord. Nah, God. I'm talking like I'm talking for Jesus. No. But he went on. He went on, knowing the times that we would even let him down. He still went to the cross, knowing the times that our faith would still waver, knowing the times when we would make a white lie. Ain't no white lie, ain't no black lie, no gold, no red, no purple. A lie is a lie, but he still went to the cross for us. Yes, sometimes we lie by omission, and sometimes we lie by commission. But it's still a lie. But look at the grace. Look at the mercy of our great God and our Savior, who put in his word, if we confess our sin, and all ungodliness is sin. You can't categorize it as a top 10 or a top 3, whatever. All ungodliness is sin. And look at the grace. Look at the mercy of God when he said it. In John, 1 John, if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, all we have to do is when we slip, when we fall, that's decision time right there. First of all, we made a decision. No one makes us sin. I got to put that out there. No one makes us sin. No one forces us to sin. Those of us who've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, somewhere along the line in the process of it, we make a conscious decision. We might want to discard it or hide it under a bunch of circumstances and unwarranted excuses, but we have the ability and we have the power and we have the capacity to live godly in this present evil world. So we just have to be honest. Listen, I hear the Bible said in one place that God desires truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, he shall make me to know wisdom. And I hear God said, I know your thoughts are far off. I know when the thought of your decision making was faulty. I know when you decided that you were going to do what you wanted to do, and you ain't care what nobody said. Preacher, teacher, or nobody. Mama, daddy, big mama, you ain't care what nobody said. You made it up in your mind that you was grown. Yes, you were. You made it up in your mind. I'm grown. I do what I want. I hear the Bible said, except you come to the kingdom of God as a little child. God got a problem with grown folk. Yes, he do. He got a problem with grown folk who think they grown, who think they big and bad and can do whatever they want to do. But I hear God say, humble yourself as a child. Listen, we are the children of God. So when we, what do we do with our children when they made a mistake and they confess? Well, mama is disappointed with you. Daddy's disappointed with you, but I love you. Did you learn the lesson? Yeah, mama. I ain't going to do it again. Yeah, daddy, I'm going to do it again. I ain't going to do it again. But we didn't tell our daddies or mama if we had good sense and we were still living in their house and eating up their food and using up their electricity and whatnot. We didn't tell them, I'm grown. I do what I want to. Now, some of us had the audacity to say, I'll be glad when I'm grown. Now, some of y'all did that. Some of us did that. Yeah, we did. I'll be glad when I'm grown. I can get up out of my house. I can get up out of your house. But the bills came. Glory. Hallelujah. The rent came. We understood that the telephone wasn't free. That was mama phone was free, but our phone ain't free. Folks were looking for every 30 days. They sent me some paper about I got to pay them. Oh, what happened to my grown self then? Listen, you ain't never got too grown for God. God's word is always going to instruct us. God's word is always going to correct us. God's word is always going to reprove us because he wants the best for us. Listen, this is not a cheap salvation. He invested his very best. He invested himself in the purchase of our salvation. So why should he accept anything less than the very best? God said, I know what I gave you because I came here myself. He said, your salvation and your eternal destiny was too important for me to leave it to the prophets. It was too important for me to leave it to the angels. So God said, I decided to come myself. You want to talk about a decision? God said, look at my decision. When you were naked, when you were wretched, when you were on your way to a devil's hell, God said, I decided to robe myself in flesh to come down and give you an example of what pleases me. And since I'm the only one who pleased me, let me show you what I'm talking about. So he robed himself in flesh, came down as Jesus Christ, lived for 33 and a half years, walked in every way that was pleasing to himself. God on the earth and God yet still in heaven. God praying and answering himself. Glory, hallelujah. God had this thing so wrapped up and so tight and so together that a fool and a wayfaring man will not err therein. So the only decision that I need to make, the only decision that you need to make is, do you still believe God? Do you still believe God? And guess what? Our lives shows what decision we have made. Our life, our conduct, our conversation, what's in our hearts, that shows the decision that we have made. Decision. Decision. God, he's so kind. Oh, he's so gracious. Oh, he's so long-suffering. He's so patient. He's so merciful. He's so loving. He is so loving. He is so long-suffering. God, oh, he, what he puts up with, just for me, just for me, what he puts up with for me, and what he puts up with from you, multiply that with the people on the face of the earth, saved and not yet saved, what he puts up with. This is God we're talking about. Huh? This is God who don't have to listen to nobody, who can do whatever he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and can't nobody stop him. The angels scratching their head. What is man that you are mindful of him? Angels could probably say, you ain't do that to us. We got a song the angels can't sing. We've been redeemed. The angels can't sing that part. They got to just, when that part of the song selection in heaven comes up, the angels can't sing that because they haven't been redeemed. But we have. We have. God redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from sin so we don't have to sin. So when we sin, it's because we made a decision. You might not want to hear that, but it's right, it's right, it's right. We can't camouflage it. We can't cover it. We can't explain it. We can't, what happened was it? We can't do none of that. We made a decision. So God, help me to make better decisions. Help me to make right decisions. Okay, so God says you want to make right decisions. So wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his law. All the decisions that you need to make, you'll find your answers, you'll find your direction, instruction in the Word of God. But sometimes we don't want the Word. We don't want the Word of God. We want a word of license. Go ahead. I ain't gonna hurt nobody. Wrong voice. Wrong voice. Go ahead. Everybody's doing it. Wrong voice. Go ahead. You can recover. Go ahead. Ain't nobody gonna know. Go ahead. After all, you deserve this. You want to talk about deserve? If I would have got what I deserve, I'd be dead. Huh? You talk about deserve. Huh? The scripture said that our iniquities and our guilt, the chastisement of our peace, the beating that we should have got, the beating that we earned, the beating that we deserve, Jesus got it. That was God's decision to do. So what's going to be our decision going forward? I'm determined to live for Jesus. Oh, yes, I am. That's why God put that song in my heart. Because I didn't know where it was going, but God knew. We have to make a conscious decision every day that the Lord allows us to see a new day. This has to be paramount. This has to be the first thing as we open our eyes. The first thing as we regain consciousness on the new day. Because do you not realize how close we are to death when we fall asleep? Huh? We are so close to death. We are close to death. We don't know what's going on around us. And unless the gracious, Almighty God sends a conscious awakening to us, we will lay there until they cart our bodies out of there. Wherever we lay in. Read between that. And whoever we lay in with. Ain't gonna be no, get up. You gotta go before, That dead person ain't gonna get up. But we're so close to death when we're sleeping. But look at this gracious God. When he allows that new moment of new mercy, and I like to call new consciousness for that day, when he sends it to us, the first thing that should register in our mind connected to our heart is, God, I thank you. And let's just be honest, for all of us, that's not the first thing. Some of us, I got to go to the bathroom. Come on, let's just be real. But who made the functionality of your body to alert your brain that your organs need to be released or relieved? God did that. Huh? God did that. So the functionings of our body, if God don't tell your brain that you need to stretch, you ain't going to stretch. I'm simplifying it. I'm trying to simplify it to let us understand that we owe everything to God. It's his decision that we see a new day. It ain't promised to us. So since he decides to give us a new day, what should our decision be? Give this day to God and give ourselves to God in this day. Not your list of stuff you got to do. Okay, I got this. God, what will you have me to do today? All of us don't think like that because we have things in our minds that we think we need to get done today. And I need to take care of these things. But I hear the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What if God wanted you to go talk to somebody today about him? What if God wanted you to talk to a sick person that might not be a member of the church, but somebody that's your neighbor that's going through something? And you see them out your window when you're getting your coffee, you see them watering the lawn, or you see them moving the trash cans back, or whatever, just normal stuff, right? And God puts it on your heart, why don't you just go talk to them, see how they're doing? Well, God, I ain't got time. I got to do that, and I got to do that, and I got to do that. Somebody talked to you. Somebody was concerned about you. Somebody shared the message with you. Decisions. Oh, God ain't concerned with that. A sparrow don't fall to the ground without God knowing about it. Huh? That's in the Bible. So if God takes notice of a sparrow falling to the ground, surely he takes notice of your neighbor. Surely he takes notice of your classmates. Surely he takes notice of your coworker. Surely he takes notice of your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson, huh? Your spouse. Surely he takes notice of that. And he came to provide them eternal life. And we got it. So let's not be selfish with it. Remember the now and later analogy. Y'all remember that? All right, let me remind you for those of you who don't. Now and later, Lord, there's something, has a distinct sound in the package. And all of us who have ever come into contact with now and laters, we can be in a setting like this, and somebody can out a pack on now and laters and begin to tamper with the plastic, and that sound registers. We know that's now and laters. And when we were in school, and someone in the class, no matter what part of the classroom, opened up the now and laters, the verbiage that soon followed was, don't hide it, divide it. Don't hide it, divide it. So now let's move this to the message. The message is our now and later. The gospel message is our now and laters, if you will. And too many of us have the message in our pocket and we don't take it out around others. Because we want it for ourselves. It cost me a lot to get this. It ain't cost you nothing, but it cost Jesus everything. But that's how we think sometimes. So this gospel message that your neighbors need, that our friends need, that our coworkers need. We have to make a decision to take it up out of our pocket and ruffle the pages, make the sound. So they say, oh, what's that? Oh, here's the message. Here's the message. Good news. There's hope for your situation. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your soul. The prince and the power of the air is Satan. And he has no problem putting his message out there. He put it out through all of his devices, through the media, through social media, through radio, through television, through billboards, through bus ads, taxi ads, shopping bags, amusement park, all kind of stuff. His message is out there. And you know what it is? It's an ungodly message. It's an untoward message. It's a do what feels good message. It's you are your own person message. Listen, we don't own ourselves. I don't care what Kaiser says in their commercials. And if you got Kaiser, don't drop them. But I'm just saying, you know, everything appeals to the flesh. We don't own ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. God made us. God made us. God owns us. God bought us. So our decision should be to walk with God. Our decision should be to live for God. Our decision should be to share God's message and ask God. If we haven't yet, ask God for opportunities to share his message. And when God gives us the opportunities, then we got to make a decision. What we're going to do. We can't be ashamed of what God has done for us. Right? And the same thing that he's done for us, he is able and willing and desiring to do it for others. But you notice something in that text? He said, who shall believe our report? So that means there's some connection in it, right? It's not just God, but it's our report. We receive the message. We believe the message. We obey the message. And then we spread the message. That's how it becomes our report. And because people spread the message that they received, look at us. We're in here now. Because somebody took the time and the concern and made a decision to share the message of Jesus Christ. So now I'm putting that decision. I'm reminding, because I didn't put it on us. I'm reminding us that we need to make those decisions daily. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop. Well, we got some decisions to make. Now, there may be some here this morning, and you have not made your initial decision to believe what Isaiah declared about Jesus and what Jesus has manifested in his life, in his death, in his burial, and the resurrection, in providing and securing eternal salvation for all mankind. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that includes you, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.